Today, as we commence our service, on behalf of Billy and the family, I do want to thank you for coming and being with us at this sad time. During these 11 months, we have been so conscious of being upheld by the prayers of God's people. There are many of our ministers present today, and I know that you have kept Charlotte and the family before your congregation. Yvonne and I and our family want to say how grateful we are for the support of the church in Bangor. We have been touched by the many expressions of love and kindness. And our whole family circle wish to put on record how much we appreciate the love, tender compassion, and unceasing care shown by the nurses and the doctors during all of these last 8 weeks, shown to Charlotte in her time of great physical need. Those nurses and doctors in the Marie Curie Centre did everything possible to make Charlotte's stay comfortable. We also wish today to thank the Reverend Smiley and the office bearers of this church for the use of the buildings. I have known Charlotte Hamilton for 40 years. I have watched her life very closely, being a member of the family circle. She impacted on so many lives, and while she was doing that, she did not even realize it. And I can say as her son-in-law that she lived for others. She was always running hither and thither, seeing to relatives, friends, neighbors. Her giving hand never withered, even to the very end. I remember a lady saying to me, "I could never say to Charlotte that she was wearing a lovely hat, for the next morning she would have it in a bag and have it at my door." Kindness, generosity, tenderness oozed from every fibre of Charlotte's being. She was that virtuous woman in whose tongue was the law of kindness. She lived for others, but much more than that, she lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a woman of prayer, always in the prayer meeting, in the prayer meetings prior to the services, and I feel as if I have in a sense been shorn of my strength by her passing. She was a woman with a missionary heart and with a special interest in God's people, Israel. She was a woman with a concern for the next generation. For years she was a firm supporter of Christian education in our churches. She was a woman burdened for souls. She prayed for souls to be saved. And many of you who are here today, I personally heard Charlotte praying for you, praying for your soul's salvation. During these last 8 weeks, as the physical frame lightened, the light of her life, the light and glory of the gospel shone even more brightly. And only eternity will reveal what was accomplished. And so today, as our hearts break within us, we praise God for the triumph of his saving grace. Charlotte was what she was by the grace of God. And to the Lord's name be all the glory. We do thank you for coming. I know that her life over the years touched your life, and that she was a blessing to you as she was a blessing to all of us in the family. There is a book of condolences in the foyer of the church. And during the refreshments or immediately after the service, I trust you'll have opportunity to sign that book. And of course, there will be refreshments, and we would like to meet with you there after the service at the gravesite. Let us join together in singing, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by." To unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us come to the Lord. The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help, and we are so conscious that we need the help of the Lord. And may the Lord draw near and speak to all of our hearts and make this service to be of eternal profit to other souls. Our gracious, loving, eternal Father, we do this afternoon bow before Thee, and how we thank Thee for the way by which we come to God. It is the blood-sprinkled way. It is in that ever-worthy name of the One who could say, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou dost live in the power of an endless life at the Father's right hand. Thou art the King eternal, immortal, the only wise God, our Saviour, the One to whom honour and glory belongs. And our loving Father, we bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee for the rich promises of Thy Word. Thou hast said, fear not, for I am with Thee. Be not dismayed, for I am Thy God. Yea, I will strengthen Thee. Yea, I will uphold Thee with the right hand of My righteousness. We thank Thee for the understanding of the prophet Zephaniah when he said of Thee, He faileth not. And our loving Father, we acknowledge that Thou dost never fail in Thy wisdom. Thou art the all-wise God, and Thou dost cause all things to work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And Lord, Thou hast the ordering and the appointing of our days and of our bounds. And today, Lord, we acknowledge that Thou art the sovereign of life and of death. We acknowledge, O God, that Thou dost never fail in Thy love. Thou dost love Thy people unto the end. Thou dost love them with Thine everlasting love. And we are persuaded that Thy love will never let us go. Lord, with our heavy hearts today we come to Thee. Cast ourselves into Thine everlasting arms. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thou dost never fail in Thy power. We have heard that power belongeth unto God. And Lord, Thou who dost uphold all things, Thou canst uphold us in this our hour of need. And today we bring Billy to Thee. We do thank Thee for 60-plus years of blessed companionship in this pilgrim journey of life. We thank Thee, Lord, for that sweetest and most blessed of relationships in the marriage bond, and for all that Charlotte was as his helpmate. And, O God, today we commend them to Thee. We remember Olive and Yvonne and Stephen and Deborah. We remember all of the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. And our Father, remember May and Marion today. And, O God, all the nephews and nieces, the entire family circle, and all too today feel so keenly the passing and the loss. Our Father, we do thank Thee for that day in Charlotte's experience when she came under the sound of the glorious gospel, heard the message Jesus saves, and realized that she was a perishing lost soul, and she cast herself on the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Happy day! Happy day when Christ revealed Himself to her, saved her by His grace, as a young woman of 24. Lord, how we bless Thee that through her life grace shone, the light of the gospel shone from her countenance and her ways. And Lord, we praise Thee for a mother who was a mother in Israel. And today her children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband, he praiseth her. We praise Thee, Lord, that she taught her children the Word of God, wrote it on their hearts, and taught them the great lessons of the Catechism. We rejoice in the grace of God that brought every one of those children to her Savior in their tender childhood years. And, O God, today we have much to praise Thee for. And we say with our whole hearts, the Lord give, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thou wast magnified in Charlotte's life. And we pray that Thou wilt be magnified in her death. We ask that Thou wilt teach us all to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom in this service. Those who know nothing of salvation, who have never sought Christ as their Savior, oh, we pray that this very afternoon they will flee for refuge. And we thank Thee that the door of salvation is open and sinners may go in. At Calvary's cross is where they begin when they come to the Lord Jesus. So, Lord, presence Thyself with us. Pour out of Thy Spirit, we pray, and magnify Thy great name. For to Thee we give the praise, the honor and the glory for the life of the one so dear to us. Lord, hallow this service with Thy presence. Be in our midst, we pray, and give us grace, and speak to all of our hearts, that we might, Lord, live for Thee and serve Thee with our whole being. Pray that Charlotte's mantle will fall on every member of the family. Lord, Thou wilt help us to live for Thee as she lived for Thee. Be with us now and bless Thy word to all of our hearts and all who take part in this service. We ask it in the Savior's lovely name. Amen. At this point in our service, I'm going to ask Stephen, the Reverend Stephen Hamilton, Charlotte's son, to bring a family tribute.
Well, public speaking is not something to which I am a stranger, but today takes public speaking for me to a whole new level. My mother told me in her time of sickness, when all of these things would be taking place, funeral service, etc., that the Lord will give you grace. And I know many are praying for us, and we feel the Lord's help already. I want to add my thanks to those of David, to thank all for coming today. The presence of so many friends is a testimony to how well loved our mother was. On behalf of the family, I want to begin by thanking certain people for their kindness to my mom and their special care of her. Her minister, Reverend David Priestley, my brother-in-law. My mother had that privilege of calling him David. I want to thank you, David, for your faithfulness and your diligence in visiting Mom at the hospice every day and ministering to her spiritual needs through His Word and prayer. Susan Gray, her favourite nurse and fellow worshipper in Bangor, thank you, Susan, for all of your help and encouragement to Mom and our family. We could never pay you back. We are forever indebted to you for your kindness. And to my cousin Beth, we offer our sincere gratitude for the very practical ways in which you helped us all, providing food, etc., on a regular basis while we all visited Mom at the hospice over 8 weeks. And I finally want to personally thank my sisters, Olive, Yvonne and Deborah, for the way that they cared for Mummy and Daddy so tirelessly in her sickness. I know it was a labour of love, but I know that she appreciated it more than words could ever say. Now my task today is obviously a difficult, if not impossible one, humanly speaking, as Mummy's favourite son, the only son, I can say that it falls to me to pay tribute to her on behalf of our entire family. But I genuinely feel that anything I say about her today will be inadequate. There are not enough superlatives in the English language to describe Charlotte Hamilton, my dear mother. One thing I do know, she would not want me to eulogize her or to exalt her in any way, but to magnify the grace of God in her. She knew I was going to give this tribute at her funeral. I didn't ask her what to say. I didn't tell her what I was going to say, but I did promise her this. I will give credit where credit is due, and you're due a lot of credit. But I will seek only to exalt the Saviour who made you the person that you are. And Mummy would have said with Paul, as David already quoted, by the grace of God I am what I am. Charlotte Wilson Mills Grant was born at the Ockley near Sinfield, County Down, on December the 28th, 1932. She was born again of the Spirit of God on the 20th of April, 1956, near Carriduff. She had been a religious person by her own admission, but that day, through the sovereign grace of God, she became a genuine Christian. At the time of her conversion, she wrote her name and the date in a little decision card, which was the wont of the preacher who was there. But more importantly to me, her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Mother wrote on a piece of paper which accompanied that little decision card, which we still have, the words, "Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room? When thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come, 'twas the same grace that spread the feast that sweetly forced me in, else I had still refused to taste and perished in my sin." And I asked Mum, why did you write that? Because she was not converted under what we would call a sovereign grace preacher. And she said, "I don't know. I just really liked that and it was my experience." Well, that day she was saved and she started out on a journey to heaven, which culminated in her arrival there at 5 minutes to midnight on Monday, the 15th of October, 2012, little Toby's birthday. Mummy was, I believe, a choice saint of God. She was the best example of the Proverbs 31 woman I have ever known in my life. And today, we as a family collectively rise and call her blessed. In paying tribute to my mother, I would mention several things. First of all, her selflessness. It's already been noted. Mummy could never be charged with selfishness. She was a giving and caring person to a fault. As the saying goes, she would give you the bite going down her throat and the shirt off her back. Mum was utterly selfless. She was always thinking of others before herself, even toward the end, about less than 24 hours probably before she passed, she talked about people who are worse off than myself. "It is more blessed to give than to receive" was something my mother really believed, and she lived accordingly. There used to be an old television advert in this country that used to ask, "Do you love someone enough to give them your last Rolo?" The fact is, my mother not only would, but often did, even to me, that very thing. She would do without so that others might have. Mummy lived to make other people happy. Selflessness. I would have to mention her sweetness. Toby, my little nephew, her grandson, made a special card for Granny when she entered the hospice, which contained a Bible verse underneath of the everlasting arms and the words, Granny, you are as sweet as honey. And he was right. She was a lovely wee woman, is something I've heard numerous times recently. Mum had a natural beauty, and my dad discovered that when he first met her. But it was enhanced by her inner beauty. She radiated loveliness to all she met, even in her pain and sickness. Mum never lost her sweet Christian spirit, always thankful to all who did the least thing for her. And at times recently, when she may not have felt like it at all, she sought to greet everyone with a smile. Mention has been made of her prayer life. I would talk about her supplications. Mummy was, of all things, a woman of prayer. Her prayer life is a constant rebuke to me. She prayed at home and was always and ever present in the place of public prayer. One of my earliest memories in Arnie Close and Craigie is of her kneeling by the sofa when I was about 3 years of age, climbing on her back and pretending that she was a horse, and her praying to the Lord in that kind of a voice. She prayed for her family and her loved ones right up to the end of her life. She prayed for the work of God, for the Lord's servants everywhere, for ministers, for missionaries. She prayed for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. She prayed for me. And I am a gospel minister today as a direct result of her prayers. She prayed for all of us as a family, and her prayers received answers. As children in the Craigie, before we went to school, Mummy would bring our wee friends into the house. And if she had time, she would read the word, but she would always pray. And she would pray for their salvation. My best friend and Arnie Close met me one day when I was the minister in Mount Merion, years and years after we lived in the Craigie. And he crossed the road and he said, "Stephen," and I didn't know who he was. He introduced himself. He said, "It's Mark." And he said, "I'm saved." He told me how he was converted. He said, "My wife here just a few weeks ago was round at the martyrs, and when the big man was preaching, she was saved." And I thought immediately of my mother praying in our home, "Lord, save wee Mark, his mummy and daddy, his brothers and sisters." Mark was able to tell me that his sister and his brother, who live abroad, are also now Christians. God answers prayer, and my mother believed that. When Toby was in the valley as a tiny baby, she prayed for him. God answered prayer. When Daddy was face to face with death on two separate occasions, she prayed for him. God answered prayer. When I was feeling discouraged, Mommy would often say to me, "Keep looking to the Lord, son, and pray on." And in recent days of sickness and pain, she prayed with us at nights in the hospice, and those prayers I will never forget as long as I live. There are folks here today who are not yet saved. But I want you to know Mummy was praying for you that you might come to heaven also. She was a prayer warrior. I will miss her prayers. And yet many of those, I do believe, are stored up in God's vials for a coming day in which they will receive an abundant answer. I could speak then of Mum's service. David has referenced it. What could I say about that? She taught Sunday school. She stood at open-air meetings. She gave out tracts. She supported Christian missions, including Christian schools. Mummy was a servant of God. And she was a soul winner. Often when folks were needed for counseling and gospel meetings, one of the first names I would hear mentioned to come out to the front to counsel people was Charlotte Hamilton. And many a soul she led to the Savior. And in her final days, it was her great desire to bring others to Christ. There in her wee drawer, she had her store of tracts and gospel booklets. She spoke a word of witness to many, including nurses and doctors and others who came in. When Mummy knew the seriousness of her condition, she said to me, "If some would come to know Christ through my sickness, it will have been worth it." And it's my firm belief that Mummy is one of those who will hear those words from the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I could speak then of her steadfastness, Down through many years, Mummy was unwavering in her stand for truth and righteousness. She was always bold and fearless in her stand, even if she was debating with the bread server in our street finer points of theology. She was always gentle and gracious, however, firm and unbending in her biblical convictions, but she would always disagree without being disagreeable, and you always knew where she stood, and she never changed. Always humble, self-effacing, never brash or offensive, she nevertheless had a zero-tolerance attitude toward compromise, error, and false doctrine. And yet she never allowed her differences with others to become personal. Mum, I can say, never had a bitter bone in her body. Unlike many, she could differ strongly with you, but always still speak kindly to you. And she was steadfast in her Christian faith in spite of much sadness and sorrow in her life. I'll not go into all of the things that she experienced, lest I not be able to finish this. But Mummy was often tried and tested, and yet she stood firm on the rock. In her last great battle, in the midst of great sickness and suffering, as her body endured the ravages of bowel cancer, she never complained, nor did she ever speak against the Lord. She fought a good fight, she finished her course, and she kept the faith. My mother was and is an inspiration to her family, and I believe also to the wider family of God. May we seek by God's grace to take up and carry that torch that she laid down on Monday night. We shall miss her. As a family, we've felt in these days as though we were all gathered on a platform in a railway station. The train was stopped there and the guard was calling, as the wee children's chorus says, "All for heaven." And we knew that Mummy was getting on that train. And we were all standing there, not wanting to let her go and maybe even wanting to get on the train with her. But she had to board that train to glory with her Lord, leaving us behind. But as I said to a colleague of mine recently, the great thought is there's another train coming. And it's got the same destination. And we as God's people will be getting on and we'll be going to join her in the mansions of the blessed. Someone sent me an encouraging devotional recently, and I must just finish with this. It is a word from C.H. Spurgeon, whose morning and evening readings my mother often enjoyed. It's on the words of John 17:24. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." Spurgeon said, "O death, why dost thou touch the tree beneath whose spreading branches weariness hath rest? Why dost thou snatch away the excellent of the earth, in whom is all our delight? If thou must use thine axe, use it upon the trees which yield no fruit. Thou mightest be thanked then. But why wilt thou fell the goodly cedars of Lebanon? O stay thine axe and spare the righteous." But no, it must not be. Death smites the goodliest of our friends, the most generous, the most prayerful, the most holy, the most devoted, must die. And why? It is through Jesus' prevailing prayer, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." It is that which bears them on eagle's wings to heaven. Every time a believer mounts from this earth to paradise, it is an answer to Christ's prayer. A good old divine remarks, many times Jesus and his people pull against one another in prayer. You bend your knee in prayer and say, "Father, I will that thy saints be with me where I am." Christ says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." Thus, the disciple is at cross purposes with his Lord. The soul cannot be in both places. The beloved one cannot be with Christ and with you too. Now, which pleader shall win the day? If you had your choice, if the king should step from his throne and say, "Here are two supplicants praying in opposition to one another, which shall be answered?" Oh, I am sure, though it were agony,
You would start from your feet and say, Jesus, not my will, but thine be done. You would give up your prayer for your loved one's life. If you could realize the thought that Christ is praying in the opposite direction. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Lord, thou shalt have them. By faith, we let them go. And as Olive said the other night in the hospice when Mum was breathing her last, good night, Mummy. We'll see you in the morning.
Thank you very much, Stephen, for those touching and fitting remarks. All of the hymns, the order of service, have been chosen by Charlotte. This was one of her favourites, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, which the Prince of Glory died. If you know, order of service is 480 in the hymn book. Stand as we sing it. Family will read to us God's Word.
I'm going to read a portion from the Old Testament and one from the New. I met Billy and Charlotte Hamilton about 45 years ago. That says something about my age, I suppose. They're my friends, the family I've grown to love. And I don't want to say anything other than read the Word of God, but just this much. The Lord, in His mercy, and in his grace made Charlotte Hamilton the woman that she was. She gave me over the years lots of advice, and I think I took most of it, if not all of it, to heart. One of the most lovely things she ever said to me was this. She said, "Trevor, I pray for you." And that meant so much. When we prayed with her up in the hospice, she put out her left hand and she says, "Hold my hand when you pray." It's the left hand. It's the one nearest my heart. A mother in Israel indeed. A woman of God. How we bless God for her. The psalmist writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children." The very last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, chapter 21. John writes, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Amen. And we know the Lord will bless to our hearts the public reading of his truth for Jesus' sake.
Thank you, Mr. Baxter, for reading to us the Word of God. This afternoon, just for a few moments, I want to turn your attention to the text that Stephen was dwelling on at the end of his tribute. John chapter 17 and the verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. When we read John chapter 17, we are conscious, like Moses, that we are on holy ground. Here we have the greatest prayer ever offered on earth. The Lord Himself is communing with God the Father. Gethsemane and Golgotha are before Him. The cross, its shame and agony, its suffering, the pouring out of His life in His substitutionary death, the shedding of His blood to make atonement for sin, the purchase of salvation. All of that is before Him. How straitened, pained the Lord is until all is accomplished. Until He can raise the cry, "It is finished." But the Lord's prayer is not for Himself. The Lord, our great intercessor, in verse 9 states, "I pray for them." He is praying for His own people. In our text, we have the climax of the Lord's Prayer. Here's His last will and testament. The prayer reaches this touching, this comforting conclusion. Notice with me, first of all, the determination in this prayer. We see the Lord's determination, His purpose. Look at how it is expressed. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. Here is the determination of the Son of God who has all power in heaven and on earth. What power the Lord had with the Father in prayer. He could say, "I knew that Thou hearest me always." And here is the Lord's determination to bring every blood-washed soul to heaven. We read in verse 12 of this great chapter, "I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost." This is the word of Him who says, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." He is the executor of His own will. We find it so difficult at the parting of the river of death. We care for our loved ones ever so keenly. We nurse them and provide for them. We pray and long that they will be spared to us a little longer. We cannot bear to part with them, but they must go when the appointed time comes. When they reach the bounds of their earthly sojourn, when they finish their course, they must leave us. They must leave the tent of clay. Charlotte was deeply loved by Billy, by all the family, by her sisters, Marion and May, and that whole circle of friends and companions through life. Tears
have been shed. But the Lord, who is the sovereign of life and death, He determines, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. And we say in humble submission, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It has been said those so near and dear could not be so much at home with us as when they are at home with the Lord. And we cannot and would not seek to hinder what the Lord wills. We say today, Thy will be done. What the Lord wills comes to pass. Our Lord's determination to take His people to be with Himself cannot be frustrated. He will not be in glory and leave one of His saints behind. The determination in this prayer. We also think of the glorification in this prayer. What is it that awaits the child of God when they depart this life? Listen to these tremendous words. I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. We note in whose presence they abide, that they might be with me. Not merely where the Lord is, more than that, they are with Him. They are absent from the body to be present with the Lord. We remember how the Lord spoke to the dying thief at the cross, saying to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Absalom lived for 2 years in Jerusalem, where the king was. But in all of that period of time, he never saw the king's face. But in heaven, the child of God sees the Lord face to face and not through a glass darkly. Face to face, O blissful woman. Face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Faith for Charlotte has given way to sight. And she is with Him in His presence. And we see from our text, it's for this purpose, that they may behold my glory. And this word, behold, it indicates, it points to an exceptional, an extraordinary sight for contemplation. You no doubt have traveled along a scenic route. You have reached the vantage point. What a marvelous sight. The hills, the fields, the whole majestic landscape. You have feasted your eyes on it. But then, you have moved on. The thought here in our text is that they continually behold the Lord's glory. John said, I beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Job, In chapter 19 and verse 27, he said, "Whom I shall see for myself," he's speaking of his Redeemer, "whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another." Oh, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. The Queen of Sheba, seeing the glory of Solomon's throne, she confessed, "The half was not told me." And Charlotte, on Monday night, she crossed the river to the glory of the Eden above. And she said, "The half was not told me." Oh, she loved the singing of the great hymns, full of the marrow and fatness of gospel truths. But now she has joined the song of Moses and of the Lamb, singing unto him who loved her and washed her from his sin, from her sin, in her own blood. The determination, the glorification, and notice finally the identification in this prayer. What's the identity of those mentioned here? Well, the verse says, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." They are those given to Christ by the Father in the covenant of grace, the covenant of redemption. And on the cross, the Lord bore the sins of that great multitude which no man can number. On the cross, he bore all of the Father's wrath, the hell that his people deserved. And in the shedding of his blood, he wrought and bought the salvation of his people to the uttermost. And on the 20th of April, 1956, Charlotte Hamilton, a young woman of 24 years of age, her husband Billy being saved a couple of months prior to that, under the sound of the gospel in Knockbracken Mission Hall, Bert Wheeler the evangelist, she heard the gospel. She heard the effectual call of the gospel, and came as she was, a lost soul to Christ, and trusted in the finished work of his cross, and passed from spiritual death unto life, from spiritual darkness to light. She was born again of the Spirit of God. She became a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. John Knox, on his deathbed, he said to his wife, "Read the scriptures. Read where I first cast anchor." And she turned up John chapter 17 and the third verse. "This is life eternal." What is it? What is life eternal? How do sinners like us come to be possessors of life eternal? "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Have you laid hold on the hope of the gospel, which is as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast? Like Charlotte and all without exception, you're a sinner in the sight of God. There's no difference in this congregation today. In the eyes of God there is none righteous, no, not one. And sin has estranged, it has cut us off from God, left our souls perishing and in danger of the wrath to come. Have you ever thought about why it is in the midst of life we are in death? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 we have the explanation. By one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In the midst of life we are in death because of sinnership. Death preaches. It proclaims our sinnership. All of us must be saved to reach God's heaven. And as the text above this pulpit says, salvation is of the Lord. He died on the cross, bearing the sin of the many. The great prophet Isaiah puts it this way: He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Flee to Christ today. Charlotte spoke to you from her bed there in the hospice, and she urged you to be saved. She said to you, meet me in heaven. So I urge you today to repent and believe the gospel. The Philippian jailer was a very troubled soul. He saw himself as on the verge of eternity, and he asked the preachers Paul and Silas the leading question, the question you should be pondering: what must I do to be saved? And they made the answer simple and plain. Believe. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The way of salvation is the same for you as it was for Charlotte. It's by faith, through Christ, through the blood of His cross, that you can know cleansing from sin and peace with God and be an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. So what will you do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Do not reject Him. Do not harden your heart against the Son of God. The Lord says to you today, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May you know what it is to rest your soul's salvation on Jesus Christ. For there's none other, and you need no other. May you this very day come to know the Lord, whom to know is eternal life. May the Lord bless His word to each of our hearts. We're joining in this final hymn, Does Jesus Care When My Heart Is Pained Too Deeply for Mirth or Song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. In the hymn book it's the number 426. And as we sing this hymn, Dr. Paisley will join us in the pulpit. For many years, Charlotte was a secretary in his office. And I know that many of the ministers here received a sermon, a typed out sermon. It would have been the previous Sunday sermon that Dr. Paisley preached. And Dr. Paisley will close in prayer. And if you're not going to the graveside, you can go immediately to the church hall and have the refreshments.
Been in the presence of thy Son. We see the marks of us crucifying upon him. But we see the joy as he has welcomed our sister to the homeland. Well, there's no more pain, no more crying, no more disappointments, but basked in the love of her Lord. She rejoices night and day as she walks heaven's blessed paths. O God, we thank thee for ever saving her. We thank thee for all the good she did in her life in dedication to the service of Christ. Amen. And we pray that you'd especially bless Billy and comfort him. But we thank thee someday we who are washed in the blood will all be there.
Amen.
And we'll see Christ. And we'll be like him. Hallelujah. For we'll see him as he is. Oh God, we pray thy blessing upon us in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. I just want to read a few verses from the last chapter of the Bible. Christ says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Grief is never great at talking. The tear in the eye, the lump in the throat, and the shake in the very depths of our soul. That's all we can do. But thank God today we are not sorrowing as those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, when we go to heaven, it will be life forevermore. No more tears. No more partings. Billy will have to live with her for eternity now. There's no end to it. What a joy. What a wonder. As I was sitting in this building today, I thought of many great experiences I had. And I thought of how God worked on our sister's heart. She was never a discourager. She was always an encourager. She always encouraged the people of God. I'm glad her pain is over. I'm glad her weakness is past. I'm glad the shadows have been chased in the sunshine of heaven. And there she is, saved by the blood of the Lamb. And at the gate of the city she's waiting for all her loved ones to be there. To be there. To be there. Oh, what must it be to be there? If you haven't Christ in your heart, dear friend, just now in the quietness of this solemn hour, just say, I am coming, Lord, coming now to Thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Be in time. We're not saying goodbye. No, Charlotte, we're saying good night, and we will meet you in the morning. And what a morning it'll be. It's a morning that is not, no sunset. We'll never say goodbye in heaven. We'll never say goodbye in that land of joy and song. They never say goodbye. Thank God our sister is there. To be there. To be there. Oh, what must it be to be there?